You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hi, I'm Dan Soder.
And I'm Big J. Okerson.
And you're listening to the Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to the Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
Hey, cameras, it's Black Blue, and welcome to the Bonfire's Best of the Week. Brad Williams stopped by on Monday's show as Big J revealed he was not on the set of Blade 4, but actually on the set of a forthcoming J-Lo movie called Hustlers. He talked about how great she looked and his awkward attempt of making conversation with the superstar.
The trailer for Hustlers looks good.
Yeah, I just retweeted it.
Hustlers. Yeah, it was, dude, it was really fun.
Fantastic,
over
man.
The course of the week, we'll talk a bunch of
congratulations.
Things. But man, watching J-Lo do that dance. We had one interaction. I think okay. I told that on the show.
That's
and
so
I just,
great. No, you didn't say it was J-Lo, though.
Yeah, but it was. We said it was the person who's probably dating Alex Rodriguez now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We tried to find our way around it. Mm-hmm. But no, it was, dude, I just said it then and there. 50 years old, man. Defies logic. J-Lo's body.
It's pretty unbelievable.
But, she's 50?
Yeah.
Man, 50 years old.
50.
Makes Christine look like a goddamn pig.
You know who else is?
J-Lo.
It's J-Lo.
It's Michelle.
Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
Heidi Klum.
Oh, by the way, Christine's my chick. I love her. I think she's beautiful.
You don't deserve J-Lo.
But J-Lo, you're right. I deserve a pig. Compared to J-Lo. Compared to J-Lo pig. Right.
Now, you go get...
Not a pig in the world.
Now, you sign a
pig to J-Lo.
You sign a fucking five-year deal for $225 million playing for the Texas Rangers. You get J-Lo.
Well, now we're back.
Sometime in your life, if you sign that deal.
Sure.
Yeah. If I get that deal on paper, for sure. Then we go J-Lo. Until then, you know, Christine.
You're his J-Lo.
If I hang in there long enough, eventually I can get an 80-year-old J-Lo. It'll fall apart eventually. You can jump in there.
What year do you think?
I could fuck Cher now.
What do you think? What year do you think J-Lo falls off where it's like you just can't put the egg back together again?
Oof.
60?
She might have another decade, man.
75.
I mean.
No. She's
I think
another,
when.
So how old is
fuck. I'm telling you, she is right now desirably fuckable at 50.
Of course. Yeah. Sophia Loren made it to like 65.
Yeah.
Did she? Really,
she
though?
She might make it to like 65.
Tell me, you're telling me grumpier old men, you wouldn't throw the bam.
Find Sophia Loren.
I'm going
65.
To. I'm going to find
65 years old.
Because I'm on Team Soda for this one.
Well,
I know. Look, she was
old
gorgeous.
Ladies.
Old. Yeah. But I'm saying, but now all of a sudden, remember who you always heard looked so great as an old lady and then just vanished one day, still alive? Raquel Welch. They never bring her up because she must have finally.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yeah.
You eventually hit the wall. Sophia Loren, I think, just like. But she was way into her 50s.
But
J-Lo's got a decade possibly more of still being like, holy shit, I want to fuck her, not would.
Which happens first? J-Lo falls off, Tom Brady retires.
Ooh. Tom Brady retires.
Yeah. I gotta go Tom Brady.
No, J-Lo, like, her butt. I mean, I watched her do her whole, I guess whatever her solo strip tease routine is.
You watched the whole thing.
Did they show in the trailer
a little bit?
Well, yeah.
J-Lo's like,
it's her body was unreal.
Well, she's first and foremost a dancer.
Whatever it is, she looks unbelievable.
Well,
and
but
they put her in this movie with Constance Wu.
Okay.
Who is hot as hell, but it's all relative.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And she almost, when they did their scene where they were walking in the room together, you literally can't see her when it's profile. But J-Lo's body like blocks Constance Wu out of the way.
Were you there? Katie Wong.
Well, some people have said that.
She's hot, Constance Wu, for sure.
Were you there the Cardi B day?
Yeah, I was there the Cardi B day. Mm-hmm. I think she had her new boobs.
That's Raquel.
Oh, okay.
She got new boobs?
She had her new boobs, and I think she was wearing, because where her pasties were would not have been where they would have been historically when her titties had
popped out.
Well,
it had to been one of the first things she did was just, like, if you had
I think she
no had money and got surgery, as soon as you get money, you're probably going to get better surgery.
Yeah, I think
right
she did.
Away.
Just
but,
keep
upgrading
those
what,
though, big-ass
tell,
titties.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, though, again, when you see them in person, like, she's obviously hot, Cardi
sure.
B, but she's very short, and like when you see those proportions in person, it's not quite as hot as you think it's going to be.
Well, they look fat.
They do.
That's
yeah.
what it that's is they look fat.
That's
and when I was
not,
growing
not,
up, they were fat girls.
Now, by the way,
now they're like thick bitches.
Not her waist.
Yeah.
Jealousy.
Waist. I'm saying
oh,
not
no, I
throwing
wish.
Some.
She's thick.
Oh, I'm happy
oh
thick is the style.
You guys better pray I don't get like serious Netflix money because I'm getting the
don't
limb.
Worry
I'm getting the limb lengthening surgery.
Yeah, have you seen
Five
Brad Williams?
5'8"
7".
Yeah,
but,
go big.
But that's what it is. She had a slim. Her body wasn't. She was tiny.
Yeah,
but even like her upper body was like thick, and she had the big titties. But the ass, it actually looks like it looks a little. I get that it photographs and the videos and mm-hmm. everything. When you're bending over, it all smooths out. But like, just her at rest, it looks kind of odd.
Really?
Yeah, but she's hot, obviously. I'm just saying, just like that looks up. J Lo is a different thing.
J Lo just walks around like a.
She got
puma.
Horse legs.
Yeah, horse legs.
Dude, I'm trying to see what she looked. Yeah, because she walks in that scene, and you're like, what
no. In the
fuck?
In the commercial for a split mm-hmm. second, you see her in a thing where she's like dental floss up her ass, and that's the scene. That's what she was wearing when I was watching.
So you saw her butt in dental floss?
I sat and played Candy Crush, listened to Howard Stern, and watched her that's do that day. Dance like seven.
Did
times.
Did you see her butt in the dental floss?
Yes.
Oh, man. That is bonkers, dude. You can't be out of shape trying to fuck a 50-year-old J-Lo that's in. Like, Alex Rodriguez has to go to the gym every day.
He's still on a steroid routine.
Yeah, he's like, I just got to keep up with J-Lo. And your one interaction with J-Lo was just you.
Yeah, when she walked up.
You got to tell Brad.
Yeah, what happened here?
I had a picture in my head. That she, let me make sure I remember this right, that she was going to go.
I had a picture
in my head. She was going to walk over at some point because she had to walk over and put money down in front of me and say, like, what was my character's name? My character's name, too. I'm trying to remember what it is.
Oh, can I start calling you it?
Yeah, I forget what it is. It might be Gary.
Are you car dealer number three?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. No, I'm the strip club DJ.
Okay.
So she slaps the money down and says, play it, whatever. And
please be Gary.
So when there was all the breaks, the pauses, when they yell cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hate to talk
industry, well, guys.
Yeah, this turned into a.
She would
kind of
just be there, and in my head, I was like, here's where it's going to happen, where she's going to say, how's it going? Some version of, hey, how's your day going? And I was going to say, oh, you know, just living the life of a fake strip club DJ, nothing big.
And you had that planned.
And instead, I didn't wait for his question. She just, like, turned around, like, casually, never really interested in talking to me, it seemed, and just caught eyes of me long enough for me to go, just living the life of a fake strip club DJ. And she went, oh. She went, what?
And then you have to repeat
and then,
it.
No. And then her assistant went, I went, yeah, she got it.
Hey, it's Black Lou again. And on Tuesday's show, comedian Jimmy Carr pointed out to Dan and Jay that while Americans are dying from opioid addiction, comedians seem to be dying from poor nutrition. Listen here.
You know, that thing with podcasts now, it feels like it's the Wild West. Feels like anyone can do anything. I wonder, has anyone ever done something sponsored by...
a drug?
Well, it's amazing, actually, how... I mean, I'm not a drug guy, but it's amazing how popular they are without... like, because you talk to people in advertising and marketing, and they just go, well, people need to hear about products, and they need to know the benefits, and we need to advertise Coca-Cola. And I tell you what, Coca-Cola, delicious drink.
Great.
I can't fault it. But drugs do so well without any of that marketing.
Not one flyer.
It's not a flyer.
Not a poster.
Not even a card. They don't.
Here's how good drugs
are. All you need to do is give a little teensy bit for free.
And then you're hooked. It goes one sample, and you're good. By the way, this is how good drugs are.
You know what, though? I don't know if you do, because, like people would find it.
They'll pay for it the first time. But if you just go to the people, if you want to be an entrepreneur,
no. I think let's. I'm going to disagree there, because I think the your opiate crisis. I mean, congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
You seem to have everyone hooked.
Yeah, we got everybody.
But the idea that you go, that heroin used to be like, it was always a very small niche. Heroin's not sort of doesn't kill you. People can be on it for vast amounts of time.
Sure.
It's the crime associated with it and the lifestyle that's terrible. And then the opiate crisis here, the idea that you went, what if we got doctors to give this stuff?
Yeah. Like, and how about we got doctors that give you 25 times the pack? What's crazy about the opium epidemic is that you're talking about marketing for drugs.
Yeah.
There's like a whole thing now with fentanyl where heroin dealers are doing a thing called hot packing it, where they're putting fentanyl in their heroin. Hmm. It's killing people. And that...
But they get
more customers when it kills them. Because then they show up and they're like, I want that.
There's a weird thing, though, isn't there, where there's a how close to death can you get and not die? There's kind of a bragging rights thing.
It's like base jumping.
It's really interesting that the fake fentanyl as well coming from China now. It's an extraordinary sort of...
the synthesized shit that they're like sending over. And there's like companies in China that...
A thousand times more powerful than heroin. You've got to go, if drug dealers are using heroin to take the edge off.
There you go. We tampered it down with some heroin.
Did you see that thing I did for Netflix? I did a show for Netflix. Not that I want to promo.
Do it. Let it rip.
I did a show for Netflix called The Fix. So it was me, D.L. Hughley, and a girl called Catherine Ryan. And they were arguing we're getting the audience to vote on things like trying to solve the big problems of the world.
Sure.
And we talked about the opiate crisis, and we went, really what they should do is those drug ads should be realistic and talk about the down, like, because they talk about the downsides, but they don't, they go, I might cause, you know, may cause
headaches, constipation, diarrhea,
but they never go, you'll lose your teeth.
Yeah. Do you like your kids? You won't see them anymore.
Yeah, they're gone.
Government's going to take them. With drugs are so good, this is what I was trying to say, that there's commercials telling you not to take drugs.
Sponsored by the drugs.
By the drugs, yeah. They're like,
I love that. I love that the cigarette companies pay for those ads that, they work in the sense they make me change the channel. I haven't quit smoking from, but it's like they have the scenarios where a kid walks into a convenience store. Yeah. It's like a pack of cigarettes, please.
Tears out his teeth.
And they go, pay up. And he takes out like a pliers and rips his fucking teeth out of his head. And like, you know, because cigarettes cost more than just money is the commercial. But then it says at the bottom, sponsored by Philip Morris, like paid for by Philip Morris. It's the tobacco companies pay for these horrible
maybe
things.
They just go, yeah, we got so much money, people.
That's what it
I'll
is.
I'll show you. Have you seen the one in the UK now? There's a new ad in the UK which got a lot, it was very controversial, which is, it just basically says obesity causes more cancer than, obesity causes more cancer than smoking. And it's like, and a lot of people kind of came out and went, that's, you're fat shaming people and that's disgraceful and you can't do that. And they went, no, we're the, you know, British Heart Foundation or we're the, you know, Cancer UK.
Yeah.
No, if you're overweight, you're going to get cancer and die.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're really kind of quite hard nosed about it going, no, it's not, you can't, it's not like being happy and fat. No, you'll get cancer and die.
I feel in America, we would immediately fold and we'd be like, we're so sorry. We were sponsored by Country Buffet. They wanted us to get the message out. We were just wanting you guys to go eat. We were just trying to herd you fatzos to the fucking buffet line.
That's a great statistic to find out. So I should continue to try to lose weight.
You look great.
And not worry about smoking cigarettes.
What do you mean you look great?
He always thinks he's still fat.
What have you got body dysmorphia on his behalf?
Yeah, because he's infected me with it.
How are you looking at him and thinking you look great?
Because he does. He looks. He's lost a lot of weight. But
I've
known him for a while.
What are you? Yeah, but you're judging it by the wrong bar.
It's working. Shut
compared
up, Jimmy.
Compared to a regular human, Jay, you need to get yourself in shape. I love you, but you need to lose like a lot of weight.
You know
to
what, baby? You know what, baby? You're good. Thank you. Want some chocolate? I'm an American mom.
You need to give up smoking and you need to lose weight because you think of like there's a cutoff point in life where you go actually long term.
Yeah,
I was Neil Brennan had a really interesting point on it where he was saying most of the people we know that have died because they ate badly rather than drugs and alcohol.
Sure,
in our kind of generation of comics, it's like I don't know a lot of people that have died.
Oh,
he did a bunch of drugs and stuff. It's mainly
Patrice wasn't drugs at all.
Yeah,
no drugs. Patrice just big.
Well, whatever they're putting in the crust of that pizza.
Yeah, that got
yeah.
Right. Geraldo, that was drugs.
Yeah, Geraldo.
He's the only one where you go, that was drugs. But then Mike DiStefano was heart attack.
And yeah, he was like a heavy guy, heavy in the middle.
Yeah,
the worst kind.
William Stevenson, heart attack.
William Stevenson had a heart attack. Yeah.
It's also that thing of like, who had Keith had the stroke, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you go, that's kind of, I mean, he's
that gets scary as shit.
Well, yeah.
Robert Kelly next year.
He's got a death pool.
Hey, dude, you the year after.
Me the year after. But that's more sadness.
Don't you put that on me. Put that evil on me, Ricky.
That was
Bobby.
Sadness.
Bobby Kelly's got the best bit about, I think the best bit I've heard anyone do about being fat, where he talks to another fat guy in the audience and goes, how many are you on now?
Yeah.
Like, how many fats are you on?
How many fats are you on? Because he's lost it, put it back on, lost it, put it back on. Talks about, do you remember that routine he did about hiding the sweets in the cupboards?
Yeah, yeah. He's like a heroin addict.
You hid the candy in the top, in the, behind the thing? Like I'm really... That's going to stop me.
Yeah. He talks about his wife sucking on one Hershey Kiss. Yeah, that's a thing where it's a different generational thing because 80s, all the comics died of coke overdoses. 90s, I was joking around about Keith where he's like, your generation doesn't have any Me Toos. And I go, yeah, because we watched you guys sexually harass all the waitresses. So we're like, I'm not going to do that. We got to work with these people.
Guy Branum stopped by the show Wednesday to talk glass dildos with Dan and Jay. Then... the legend Rich Voss joined in and asked the big question, what's more gay, to blow a guy or make out with him? Tune in for the thrilling answer.
Every time I see a glass dildo, I'm like, for who? You know, who wants a dildo but to be doing things with it that are precise enough that you're not going to break that and damage yourself
irreparably? I've heard great things about the glass dildo.
That's got to be tough glass.
What I'm more surprised by is the fact that since the vibrators come around, let's call it Edison's time. who's still buying dill? Like who needs the stationery still?
Maybe, I don't know. We could I would seem like stationery might be a safer alternative if you're less of a daredevil.
Well, I think for boys, like, you don't necessarily want that kind of mechanical vibration. You sort of want a feeling of fullness and maybe some thrusting.
There it is.
And I get it.
That's just a low-key, no-battery dildo.
I like that there's a beautiful range that some of them are so stylized that you're just like, this is artwork that evokes the penis without being a penis. And then I like those veins. I think that those veins are like, remind me of magical moments from my own past.
Yeah.
When me and Christine have gone, we'll call it dildo shopping. And inevitably, I always look right away and go, this one that I have to like throw over my shoulder, like a cartoonish, huge black dick, thinner at the base, bigger in the middle.
Wait, so you like one that plumps up in the middle and goes back, like a snake eating a rabbit?
Because then it has like a genuine heft and it really like, it like dangle hangs.
Do you like it because also it gives you like a little bit of a sword thing where it'll stop your hand?
It, look, I get it because I want, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like an Olay. Yeah. Like,
but also, fence with it.
Dan, yeah. From a clearly practical standpoint, if you put things up a butt that don't have like that base,
yeah.
They can get lost in a butt.
He's made me watch videos of sorts on air, and it's haunting.
Made you? I make you?
Yes. This is where Vanilla Dan came from.
I may have made him.
Yeah, you did. You were like, watch this, and a woman put a vibrator in her butt, and it was like, no! And it was like...
I'm very comfortable with who I am. Dan also shut down Gay Porn Month, but...
No! I thought it was hilarious when we watched the gay porn involving the gymnasts, because it was on brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you were just making the crew watch other gay porn, I felt that a little inappropriate.
What's gayer? To make out with a guy or blow him?
Blow him.
No? What do you think?
I don't know. It depends what
to
both
make
are
out. Here's
for.
Why making out is gayer, because you're showing affection when you make out. You're connecting with a person.
Well, it depends how you make out.
Oh, like you clean your ass.
No, aggressively.
Good. Yeah.
Blowing. Wait, you think it's because of the intimacy?
Yeah, I think it's more intimate to make out with a guy. Blowing a guy, you might just be, you know, doing a dare.
Guy, can we get your opinion on this, please?
There's not a whole lot of intimacy in two dudes making out with each other. I mean, there can be, but the vast majority of the time, it's just, drunk people doing shit for the 3.5 minutes before we start blowing each other.
No, but what about two guys that are...
it's just running time off the clock? You're like,
about two guys that are married in love? It's the same as a husband and wife being married in love when they... I mean, I don't make out anymore to my wife because we've been married for too long, but...
That seems very straight and domestic to me. Two guys who are married making out with each other is boring. Guys fucking each other in a bush, that's my homosexuality.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
What a like little joie de vivre.
Seeing a stranger on the streets of San Francisco, not saying anything, and then just going to a slightly dark place and fucking each other... That's the core of our community.
No clue why anyone could be homophobic.
It's great.
Get things done kind of community.
Jesus Christ.
Like you. It's like when football players call each other out for hits. They're like, you, wham, and then just go their opposite way.
So if I see a gay guy by a bush, run.
Get in there.
Run?
In
what
direction?
What are you cleaning your asshole for so good? If
you've been waiting for that moment.
Hi, this is Jacob, and we all knew this day would come. On Thursday, capping off a week in Montreal, the great Pete Corielli from the Pete and Sebastian Show stopped by and gave DJ Lou an ultimatum. Choose once and for all between the producers' two shows. It's either the Pete and Sebastian Show or the Bonfire.
Is this one on?
Yeah, it's on.
Can Lou hear us?
I think Lou, you can hear us, right?
Yeah.
Lou, okay. I did the podcast with Sebastian in this room right before this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you told us, oh, you got to be out at 5:30. You got to haunt out at 5. I come back in here to get something that I left in the room. You kicked us out for your fucking two buddies over here? For your smoking buddies so you could do your show with your lovers?
Yes.
You got to pick a team, guy, all right? You either do the Pete and Sebastian show or the Bonfire. You got until Soda gets back from Scotland to figure it out. We're not letting you double dance anymore.
Oh, my.
Lou, we practiced for this. Remember, I kept saying this day would come?
We told you at one time you'd have to make a choice, and now you're getting King Solomon.
I told you these Gindaloons, these man of guts, wouldn't let you just double dip like that.
That honors all talk, Lou.
I know that every day, and, you know, we're only once for an hour every week, but you sit on your ass the rest of the week and wait for us to get back.
I'll tell you the big thing, Pete. I will let you know. The big thing is that me and Dan let Lou, he's very touchable with us. You know, he gets to go backstage at our shows, and Sebastian put him in the 700 section of the garden to watch him from a distance. And when Lou was like, can I get a little bit closer? I heard Sebastian handed him opera glasses.
Well, hey, Lou shouldn't take that personal, because when I opened for Sebastian, he dropped me off at a separate hotel. So it's not just Lou.
All right. That's more of a Sebastian thing.
Yeah. Lou, don't feel as bad now.
Pete, I know you got to run.
Yeah,
dude.
I adore you guys, man. Keep up the great work.
Dude, thank you so much, man. Pete Corielli,
download the podcast, Pete and Sebastian.
One of the best.
And Lou, you got some decisions to make.
My girlfriend was younger than me in high school, and to make it worse, she fucked. She sucked her thumb, hook over the nose, while also in this hand rubbing a piece of ribbon she called Silky.
Wait, this was a girlfriend of yours?
A long time girlfriend of mine.
You dated a retarded lady?
Sucking her thumb late in life. How are the beeges?
That's what I was thinking early.
I've told this on stage before, but it's I thought they were bad because she was just, you know, we were young and I didn't even know what a good one was. But I thought it was a little shallow.
Yeah.
On what I would consider not a real, you know, throat basher.
Sure.
Of a dick. And it turns out she wasn't bad. I filmed one time and then went profile with a Sony Handycam. Oh. And then, yeah, as my dick would get halfway in her mouth, my stupid gunt and belly would knock her forehead back.
Ooh. Hey, this is Big J. Okerson, and I hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on social media, at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.